Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. The story of Cain and Abel is a dramatic portrayal of the contrast between the way of unbelief and death and the way of faith and life. Abel is the first hero of the faith, enumerated in the great faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Now last week we said that most simply, faith is taking God at His word and acting upon it. That God has borne witness, that God has testified concerning things hoped for, things unseen, spiritual truth. And this is upon the authority of a God who cannot err and a God who will not lie. We have also seen that the three main components of faith are knowledge, mental assent, and trust or committal. We have said that faith is the work of the Holy Spirit who sows the seeds of repentance and faith in the heart at the time of regeneration. Faith is the empty, outstretched hand which receives the free gift of salvation as it has been given to us in Jesus Christ. Which brings us then this morning to the story of Cain and Abel. After the fall, that is, after the disobedience and rebellion of Adam and Eve in the garden, when they refused to take God at His word and act upon it, but rather listened to the lie and the deception of Satan, who sowed in their minds and their hearts the seeds of unbelief concerning the goodness and the faithfulness and the truthfulness of God. They rebelled against God and took matters into their own hands. And as a result, they were cast out of the garden. So that we come to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And God is speaking to the serpent and He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And the subsequent history in the Bible is the story of the contrast between the seed of the woman and mankind under the bondage and deception of Satan and sin. And we find this dramatically portrayed right here in the story of Cain and Abel. Now, first of all, let us note that there was nothing naturally that made one brother differ from the other. Both of these brothers were born outside of the blessedness of the garden. Both of them were born after the fall. Both of them inherited their parents' fallen sin nature. Abel by nature was not more righteous than Cain. He was just as much a sinner in God's sight as was his brother Cain. Now Abel by profession was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. But the Bible says there came a day when both of them made an offering unto the Lord. Verse 3. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now skepticism and unbelief has jumped at this as an evidence of the partiality and the injustice of God, declaring that poor Cain was simply a victim of circumstance. He ended up a farmer, while Abel ended up a tender of sheep. But they have missed the point completely. They did not differ in nature. They did not differ in their circumstances. The difference was in the sacrifices that they offered and the heart attitude of each of them as they offered that sacrifice. Remember what it says in Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. The offering of Abel was accepted because he came and brought it in faith, with a heart of penitence, with a heart of devotion and trust. Cain's offering was simply a formal act of worship, expressing no real submission, no real love. There are the words of 1 John 3:12 that we need to consider at this point. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now living on this side of the cross as we do, with all our knowledge of the gospel, there's always a temptation to read back into the Old Testament perhaps more than is really there. And yet, we need to remember that our blessed Lord, after his resurrection and during his 40-day post-resurrection ministry, took his disciples back into the Old Testament and showed them all the things concerning himself as was revealed in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. And it would certainly seem, based upon the writer of Hebrews, that the very form of Abel's offering was due to his faith. Faith indicating the motive by which he acted, that he took God at his word, God at his revelation, and acted upon it. Now, this is what is meant by the faith of Abel. Then we have to imply that somewhere along the way, God had revealed to man that the only way that a sinner could approach unto God was that through sacrifice, that man could not come to God in and of and by himself and his fallen sin nature. He must come by the way of approach through an atoning sacrifice, through the blood of a sacrifice offered up. He must seek something outside of himself whereby he could gain entrance and acceptance to Almighty God. Now it says that Cain offered unto God the fruit of the ground, the fruit of a cursed earth, without any indication that he realized that something had to be done to remove that curse, and that he could not approach God except on the basis of a sacrifice standing between himself and the holy and righteous Creator. In other words, Cain was approaching God on the basis of his own merit and righteousness, with no acknowledgement of his own sinfulness and a separation from God. No sense of a need of a substitute. His was the approach of human merit and self-righteousness. Then it says that Abel's sacrifice was the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. It was a more excellent sacrifice because it was a sacrifice of faith, an acknowledgement of his own sinfulness and his own unworthiness, and that he could only come to God through the atoning sacrifice of a substitute. As Dr. Charles Erdman, late professor of Princeton Seminary, put it, this offering of a lamb may indicate, even in type and symbol, the provision which God has made for sinful man to receive pardon and to enjoy fellowship with him. It may remind us that there is no other way, and that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The sacrifice outside the gate of Eden may point us forward to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, or upward to the heavenly choirs, which are chanting the song of adoration, worthy the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and blessing. Now the enmity of the natural human heart and mind toward the revelation of God is revealed by what follows. When Cain's offering was not accepted, the word says that Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Cain, in unbelief, had despised the way of faith. His heart was filled with bitterness and hatred toward his brother, and though God warned him of the evil that his anger would bring, yet the record says, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And when faced with his crime, he denied it, and he disavowed any responsibility for his brother. Whereupon, God said that the blood of Abel cried for retribution. Now the writer of Hebrews, again, in using this incident, speaks of this in Hebrews 12:24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of Abel cried for punishment, for retribution. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks of reconciliation and peace. Now before we leave this most excellent sacrifice of Abel, it's important for us to note two things. Abel, in offering up the firstling of the flock, was offering up a life of a substitute to be given up in death to pay the penalty for his own sin. This was an acknowledgement of the righteous judgment of God against sin, a reminder that the Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It was an act of faith. Abel was taking God at his word and acting upon it. And he believed that his sacrifice would be acceptable and that he would be accepted with his sacrifice. And Abel's confession was that he was unworthy to approach God apart from an atoning sacrifice. Furthermore, with the sacrifice, Abel was also consecrating himself to Almighty God. Consecration must go along with the offering up of the sacrifice. And Abel was acknowledging now that he had his faith in the Almighty. He was identified with his sacrifice. But now what does all this mean for you and for me personally? In Matthew 23:35, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of righteous Abel. Abel had witness borne unto him that he was righteous. But remember something now. The scripture says there is none righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Abel, in and of and by himself, had no righteousness of his own. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Abel bowed to the righteous judgment of God against sin and to God's righteous provision in the sacrifice. And through it, Abel was brought to reconciliation and faith in Almighty God as he worshiped with his eye on the dying lamb. He trusted in a substitute. Now this is the central theme of God's entire revelation of redemption. There's not a single person present here this morning who will be, who has ever been, good enough and righteous enough to gain acceptance with God on the basis of his own good character and his own good works. There's not a single person who's ever lived apart from Jesus Christ who's able to work his way to heaven. All have sinned, none righteous. God's word says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that any single one of us will ever experience the forgiveness of our sins, divine pardon, acceptance with God, new spiritual life, the assurance of life eternal, is on the basis of faith in the Lamb of God who loved us and gave himself for us, who dealt with our sin problem. The only way of faith is faith in a substitute who died in our place, who took the punishment that we deserve, who bore our sins in his own body upon the cross and paid for those sins by his own sacrificial atoning death. Christ has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is the witness and testimony of Scripture. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Faith believes God when he speaks. It takes him at his word, and it apprehends what God has done for us by his grace in the person and finished work of Jesus Christ. This is a way of life and righteousness and peace. But may it be said that there are still multitudes of people in our society today, even within the church, who still believe in and follow the religion of Cain. Such people always want to offer something to God. In essence, they come to the bargaining table and they say, God, you accept me on the basis of who I am, what I have done, and what I could do for you. The religion of Cain says, in essence, after all, I'm not so bad. In fact, I'm really pretty good. Now, God, you accept me on the basis of what kind of a person I am and what I do for you. But you see, it is Cain-like religion that scorns and scoffs and rejects the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because such doctrine makes God everything and man nothing. And man can't stand that. His pride gets in the way. But I would remind you this morning that the way of Cain's religion is not the way of salvation as is revealed by God in his word, as we read in Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And my dear beloved friends, mark it down in your little black book and never forget it. There's not a single one of us here present or listening on the radio that is ever going to stand before Almighty God and be accepted on the basis of our own good character or our own good works, anything that we can do or give to God. No one. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and it is totally dependent upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And it's faith in a Redeemer who died in our place, who took our punishment upon himself and paid that punishment, satisfying divine justice. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And only by believing and receiving and committing ourselves to Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior will a single one of us ever stand before our Father and be accepted in his sight. Our sin was put upon Christ. He paid the penalty. He took the punishment. He died the death that you and I deserve to die. And in turn, his perfect righteousness is put to our account, and we are accepted in him. And in the words of the old hymn, every single justified sinner has to say this: nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. This is the way of faith. This is the way of life. Finally, having come the way of faith, by personal trust and reliance upon Jesus Christ alone, the scriptures are clear that his life becomes our life, that we are identified now with him. As Paul puts it in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, now it's ours to die to self and to live for Christ, to offer up and yield ourselves to him. This is what Paul meant. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, beloved, this is it. There's the way of Abel, and there's the way of Cain. Cain is the way of unbelief, not taking God at his word, not believing what God has said concerning our need and his provision in Jesus Christ. Self-righteousness, thinking that somehow I am going to get by on my own. And I bear testimony to you this day, because it says over in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews that someday I'm going to have to stand before Almighty God as a shepherd and give an accounting for what I have said or not said to you. And I bear record to you this day that there is no other way except faith and trust in the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And the only way of salvation is my surrender, my commitment, my receiving of Jesus Christ alone as my personal Lord and Savior. And as the Catechism says, trusting in him alone for salvation. And I am free of the blood of all men. The way of Cain, the way of Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, because it was the way of faith. May we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee and praise thee this day for the revelation that thou hast given us in thy word of truth, that thou hast made it so clear, so plain, that there is not a single one of us who is righteous enough in himself to gain acceptance with God, that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But in thy amazing grace and love and mercy, thou hast provided for us the answer to our need in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. O Father, by thy Spirit, point our hearts and our mind to him this day, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And by thy Spirit, O God, if there be one single individual here who is yet trusting in his own goodness, his heritage, his character, his conduct, to somehow get him by, that he can muddle it into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, Father, show that one today. Open eyes and hearts, that they may see that there is no other way than through the shed blood of God the Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. We pray in his blessed name. Amen.